You're listening to Girls Gone Wad. I'm Joy.
And this is Claire. And we have a special guest today. We have Will White here, who is the owner of the Caveman Cafeteria, where hunters gather, I believe is your tagline.
Dun, dun, dun.
And started off as a food truck and now has expanded into all sorts of things and is trying to take over the world. So
that's one way to put it.
One meal at a time.
Revolutionizing food service by changing the way people eat.
Yeah, so why don't you just tell us a little bit about how you got started, and I guess we could start off with why paleo?
Why paleo? Okay, that's a great question to start with. So the way that I got into paleo was, like a lot of people do, I think I started doing CrossFit because everybody was doing CrossFit in the Army. This is back when I was in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And so long story short, I was in the Army for 7 years. I got out last May, and about like my last 18 months or so in the Army, I started doing CrossFit, and just like within the first month, I was one of those people that was, I got to run 50 miles a week, you know? So I thought I was in great shape, but then I did CrossFit for a month and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm way out of shape.
You realize how not in shape you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Or how in one particular kind
of shape. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, I can run forward for a long time, but if I do squats, I can't walk for 2 days, you know? So,
yeah.
So CrossFit blew my mind, and it made me think that there's something with nutrition and fitness that I kind of just didn't understand. So I, being an analytical type of person that I am, I started reading about the theory behind CrossFit and everything. Mm-hmm. And then I started hearing these words like primal. And then I got into the diet recommendations and it talks about paleo. And I think I read like the first two sentences and I'm like, that is just
clicked.
That makes total sense, you know? Mm-hmm. So then, you know, I'm in the Army like for about another year or so after that. And I mean, I basically just knew that I was getting out of the Army and I have my GI Bill. So the plan was always to go to law school.
Yikes.
But I kind of decided, like my last year in the Army, I was like, you know what? I only want to have one rule for the rest of my life, which is I never want to have a boss.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm never going to have a boss for the rest of my life. And then I was thinking about, okay, how do I make that happen?
Right,
and then I started thinking about,
well,
the difficult, that's an easy decision to make.
Yeah.
Everybody would agree with that decision,
right.
But then you have to figure out how to make that happen. So
right.
Then I was like, well, it's impossible to eat, you know, because I was doing CrossFit and eating paleo. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. You know, mm-hmm. You can't join a CrossFit gym unless you got 150 or 200 bucks a month.
Right.
And you care about your nutrition, but there's nothing to eat. And then, you know, it was just that I think everybody does this. You know, you have a business idea and you just start kicking around with your friends. And,
right.
And you're like, let's think of the coolest name we can think of.
Yeah. Well, it also kind of coincided with the rise in food trucks a little bit. That's been a big thing the last 5 years or so.
I think the food truck thing was like such an obvious way to enter the market. You know, over the last few years, it's like it's a trendy thing. And mm-hmm. I immediately when I started thinking about it, I was like, a food truck is just a mobile interactive billboard.
Yeah,
you know, that's really what it is. It's a, you know, stick your logo on the side of it and whatever you want to do, you can just get out to
totally
your target market so easily and interact with people. So
cool.
That's why we did that.
Yeah. So then in terms of, you know, going forward with paleo, so this is something, do you eat paleo? I mean, 100% of the time, 100% strict, 80% of the time type of thing?
Yeah, well, I call Saturday fatter day, you know, like that's my, if I want to cheat a little bit, because I always loved beer,
uh-huh.
But like right now, like I've been eating paleo for long enough now that like I've pretty much switched off of beer because it's
just
like,
not worth it.
My stomach hurt so
bad,
but I always say, you know, if I want to have a beer on a Saturday night or whatever, you know,
right,
in a social situation, you know, I believe as long as you're doing it, you know, pretty strictly for at least 6 days of the week, you know, mm-hmm. you're going to have the effects of it. Like, as long as you're not popping a, you know, few chocolate chip cookies every day, like, oh,
right.
This is only 10%, you know what I mean?
So, right. It's hard to,
you know, you have to train your body to basically, you know, burn fat.
Right. Expect the right things.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So I have a question for you. Like, in terms of choosing this as your business, what was the mission behind it?
The mission behind our business?
No, just why was this the thing that you picked to not have a boss? Like, this is truly your life. So what's
kind of crazy. I think just, you know, opportunity knocks. I think that, I mean, me personally, I think you hit about 30 years old. You know, I just turned 31 this year. And I think you hit about 30 years old and you kind of... You've either made so many mistakes in your 20s that it doesn't matter what your real purpose in life is.
Yes.
So I got to, you know, I was about 30 years old and I realized that I, you know, I just want to be an entrepreneur, basically. So as an entrepreneur, I'm a person that looks at the opportunities available to me and goes with what I think is the best. And I basically, I had my two best friends of my whole life that I've known since I was in kindergarten. One's an incredibly good chef, and the other one has been working with events his whole life, like, you know, putting up tents and stages and stuff like that. So I said, you know, let's make a catering company, basically. That's
so going into kind of food service, made a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I never had a day of restaurant experience in my life.
So, all right, so this was like brand new field for you.
Totally brand new. I just... I figured, you know, my best friend has been in the restaurant business his whole life, from all different angles.
Sure.
And I looked at it like, you know, he'll be able to consult me and help me out. And then, you know, just the opportunity of what I thought was a huge market.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's why I had to do this, you know.
Okay.
So in terms of... going forward with paleo, you know, a lot of people say, you know, this is just like the current iteration of the low carb, you know, and
this is
just the new Atkins diet. Do you see paleo having a long-term future?
I think it does because, and I should clarify that, I think it does if it's marketed correctly. I think it does if people realize that, you know, paleo is not a diet like all these other things. You know, paleo is a perspective shift. It's a way to understand really what you should not be eating. You know, it's not a prescription of, you know, eat this on this day at this time.
Right.
You know, it's actually it's so freeing, you know, and it actually goes really well with like me personally. Like, I have zero goals for nutrition, for fitness, for my weight, for anything like that. I have no goals. I don't want to
say. What do you mean you don't have any goals?
I have no goals. I mean, I don't care if I weigh 155 or 165.
Okay. You're just you're happy.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And that's, well, I'm trying, you know, I try to be just contented, you know, and focus on the process, you know, rather than the goal at the end.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's, so with paleo. But
you want to be healthy, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
I mean, because you're in good shape. You take care of yourself.
Right. I guess if I had a goal, it would be to feel good. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
not worry about things outside of
You know, I mean, like, trying to be, like, my most elite self or whatever, I think that's a goal that kind of runs counter to being happy and healthy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, not that there's anything wrong with it if that's what you're into.
Right.
So where were we?
Whether or not you think paleo has a good...
Oh, yeah, paleo.
Is there a reason also that you did not decide to include the word paleo in your business title?
Yeah, there is. Because I think part of the reason is because, you know, I think it's an umbrella. You know, it's real food, it's primal, paleo, whatever you want to call it. And I don't want to be directly associated with something that
just
has...
Just one faction of that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's something that has so much... there's so many connotations to paleo, you know, like...
Yeah, yeah. It drives me nuts. Like, people will be like, you know, they'll see... You'll go to a restaurant or whatever and buy, like, get, like, a burger with no bun, and people are like, oh, are you eating paleo?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I hate telling... I've gotten to the point where I hate telling people that I eat paleo, because it has such, like, this, like, oh, you're paleo.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I just try to eat... Like, you're saying, like, I just try to eat stuff that I know my body does... functions the best on. Like, I just
because I'm not gonna eat your disgusting bun, it's gonna make my stomach hurt, you know, and I would prefer it if this meat didn't come from a cow that was living in some terrible feedlot
who actually saw the sun and wasn't like on this conveyor belt
so I think paleo, if it's associated with, you know, real food, sustainability, organic, like all of these things that I think are part of the same movement, in 25 years it's all gonna merge together and we're gonna be the leader of that. I think if it's associated with those things, then it has long-term potential to always be here. And then also the fact that it's really the only way to eat that tastes great and works and makes you feel incredible. And
you don't have to worry about feeling guilty for eating too much, or you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and I mean, you can be on the Atkins diet and eat nothing but absolute garbage meat. You know what I mean? That's actually, and I mean, to me, it does matter, you know, if the meat sources that you're getting are destroying the earth. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I always think it's interesting when they, like, send out these studies, you know, about how meat is killing everyone. And it's like, but
They don't do a study.
Yeah, are you serving people who are eating McDonald's? Like, yeah, are you serving, you know, are you counting Burger King burgers? Because, like, that's not, you're not really measuring the effect of beef. You're measuring the effect of antibiotics and fillers and, you know, it's like, it's so.
Well, and plus, I mean, you're eating, you know, they're not doing a good controlled study of, okay, are these people eating meat and also a bunch of bread?
You know what I mean? Yeah, so, covered in cheese-like products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
when did this start? When did you start your food truck?
Oh, well, we started with the food truck last June.
Okay.
It's actually funny because I bought a food truck for marketing purposes in April, and we ended up not even using the food truck for the first month of our business, which was June. We were actually just a straight-up catering company.
Mm-hmm.
The first gig that I landed as a company was a plated fine dining event that was every Saturday night. So it had nothing to do with our food truck.
Yeah.
And then starting in July of last year, we started getting the food truck out on the street and immediately realized that we had the biggest POS food truck of all time. So it's such a piece. I actually had
it. It has character.
It has a lot of character. There's characters like the guy who owns the tow truck that knows it very well. There's like the character of the mechanic.
It's all a part of the experience.
Yeah.
It's all a part of the experience of the K-Man
cafeteria. Yeah. Food truck is the worst business model ever.
Yeah.
It's just such a bad idea.
Yeah.
If you're doing real food like we do, it just doesn't it doesn't work. So, it's a marketing tool.
So then what? Like, is that, are you moving on to something?
Well, now you guys have the food stand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have, the food stand is the same thing. It's just a marketing tool. We're a brand that exists in the ethos. Yeah. So, Caveman Cafeteria is going to revolutionize food service over the next 25 years by changing the way people eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we're doing it right now mainly is with our prepared meal delivery service, you know, and that really, the food stand and the food truck are just a marketing tool for that, where you can basically come down and get more information, you know, if you wanted to sign up for a meal plan.
Yeah.
Or if you need a quick lunch.
Yeah, if you need a quick lunch downtown. 16th and Larimer Way.
Yeah. And also on your website, you cater weddings too?
Yeah, we do.
Cool.
We do wedding catering with real food. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, I think we did 8 this summer, which is our first summer doing weddings.
That's huge.
Yeah, thanks. So we've got them lined up all next year already, going out through October.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks.
Is it a bunch of CrossFit people that are like doing back squats with
kinda.
People like Claire does at weddings?
Kinda, honestly.
Claire back squats her husband at weddings.
No, it wasn't my, it was the groom, but it wasn't my groom. He only weighs like 130 pounds.
You married another groom?
No. we went to a wedding. I wish.
Oh, okay.
That would be fun. No, we went to a wedding this summer and I had some drinks and picked up the groom and walked around the dance floor with him and was squatting him.
Yeah.
But he only weighs like literally 135 maybe pounds. Yeah. He's probably listening right now. He's like,
that should be part of the ceremony.
I totally agree. Yeah. Like, if you can't back squat him, if you can't carry him away,
you gotta be able to back squat each other.
I agree.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah.
He probably could overhead squat me. Brandon could. I think he could snatch.
Totally.
If I could,
there should definitely be a fitness aspect. Like, you should have a fitness evaluation for marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. You should have to be able to at least partner carry down the aisle.
Yeah.
I would like to see that. I would like to see that happen.
Maybe that's what we'll do at our wedding. Instead of walking back down the aisle, Brandon will just pick me up and throw me
over
his shoulder.
When's your wedding?
It's in January.
This January?
Yeah. 1/4/14. It's in Boulder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. January 4th. We're having it actually at the kitchen next door up in Boulder. So
that's
pretty
sweet.
Excited about that. Yeah, we're going to have, it's just going to be so much food.
I know.
It's a plan. Really excited.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to paleo.
It always comes back to food.
It always comes back to food.
Yeah, of course. Everybody that's listening, though, yes, we do cater weddings.
Yeah.
We do cater weddings. Contact.
But right now you're local, right? You're not doing, like, international stuff.
not yet. I mean,
we do have listeners that are
if the price is right, I mean. Well, we say that we're doing destination weddings in Colorado, you know. So, like, we actually had a couple from Chicago that got married in Silverthorne.
Oh, cool. Nice.
We catered their wedding this July and got another couple from actually Chicago next September that we're doing their wedding, so.
Cool. Wherever you can go.
As long as they come here.
Right. Which way would you not want to come here?
Everyone should just get married in Colorado.
They should get married in Colorado.
Yeah,
exactly.
True.
Perfect
weather. Yeah. Hopefully perfect weather.
Yeah.
Actually, could kind of do anything, which is also fantastic.
So
in terms of also paleo, I'm interested to know what you think about, because I think one of the biggest criticisms about paleo has to do with its like literal sustainability. You know, people say it's so much meat that it's not, you know,
that you can't produce that much meat to feed everybody sustainably. Yeah,
exactly.
I think most people eat twice as much meat as they should eat, you know? Mm-hmm. I think you should probably cut the amount of meat you eat in half, but only eat incredibly high-quality meat, you know? Mm-hmm. So that would be one thing. And then another is, you know, like I said, if paleo is associated with real food and organic and all that, you know, the sustainability piece of it, which to me, you know, it's all got to be part of the same thing. If mm-hmm. it's associated with all that, then you don't have to worry about that. But if it's just, you know, I don't know who's in charge of marketing paleo you know, centrally, but like if I see another bacon ad, you know what I mean? It's right. Like there's more to it than bacon. And could we pick, you know, like maybe a meat product that's likely to be raised well, you know, besides bacon. I mean, it's delicious, don't get me wrong.
Right.
but that's not what it's all about, you know. So, especially if we're trying to, you know, promote the sustainability of this, you know.
Totally.
I think that's a really good point. I was just listening to a podcast today about, and it was a vegan and a paleo person talking, and the paleo person was saying the same thing of like, mm-hmm. you know, bacon is kind of like this joke now, like everything needs to be bacon. And he's like, and I don't necessarily agree with that. And in paleo, I think it is like that point of, you probably could cut it in half and still be fine.
Yeah. Well, we've also started, like, we just got this ridiculous amount of organ meats. I don't know what the heck we're going to do with all this stuff. Like, we have our whole freezer right now is full of, like, kidneys and livers and hearts. And, I mean, it's really, I'm excited. I'm Joy's, like, Joy was a vegan until about, what, 3 weeks ago?
A month ago.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she does convert. Well, and then she converted to paleo and gained 7 pounds of lean mass in 1 month.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, come on now. That's ridiculous. If I could gain 7 pounds of lean mass in 1 year, I would be ecstatic.
Well, I love to tell people because I have, as you'd imagine, you know, I have vegans that come up to the food stand and, you know, and people get, you know, they usually start off like pretty defensive and pretty emotional about everything. And then I, you know, point to the menu and half our menu is vegan, you know, so, and I always tell people, you know, you can be vegan and paleo, you know, it's not about what you're eating, it's about what you're not eating. So we always say, you know, no grains, no added sugars, no processed oils. That's what you gotta start with.
It's all about real food. I think that's where vegans and paleo people can agree.
It's real food.
Yeah, and I think no matter what diet you follow, just eat real food.
Right. I honestly think like you could do, it's like you call it whatever you want.
Exactly.
Just stop eating things that have more than one ingredient. It's like stop eating things that come in a package. Stop eating things that are, you know, it's like call it what you want. Just eat food.
Yeah.
I think there's, and I mean, that has, that notion, you know, being, I was around more and more. And I think, what was that Michael Pollan book?
Omnivore's Dilemma.
Yeah, I mean the million of them, but the one that's
in defense of food,
where it's like eat food
mostly plants.
Eat food not too much, mostly plants.
Yeah. But it's like food in terms of like
actual food,
not
processed
food like products.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I think that's kind of the, you know, an interesting.
So you do have. Give us a quick just synopsis of your menu.
Well, the menu does change all the time, so it's tough to say what is on the menu. For our meal plan service, you know, it changes every week. Mm-hmm. So really, the food stand is like, basically it features our tasting menu of the week. You know, we have a handful of items that are always on the food stand that were pretty much the first things that we came up with as a company. You know, our bistro steak, our sliders, and zucchini salad's a vegan item, salt cured tomatoes a vegan item.
Those are delicious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
We track down the food truck pretty regularly, and I get so many. I'm just like, I just want all the tomatoes.
Yeah.
Usually get 2 or 3 orders of tomatoes.
and you know, we have our braised beef short rib. You know, those are like basically our classic items. And then the meal plan menu changes pretty much every week, and we add like a few different proteins. Like we do lamb, 100% grass fed lamb, which is if people really look into it, that's almost impossible to find.
Mm-hmm.
100% grass-fed lamb. We do duck. We're actually doing chicken from Boulder. Yes. And we just, you know, every week we prepare things in a different way. So you open up your cooler and you can see what's in there.
I know, I'm so excited. We Brandon and I try to eat, you know, mostly paleo. But Brandon and I have talked about this before, is the hungriest person in the entire world.
He's very hungry.
He needs like 3,000 calories a day.
He's got a high metabolism, I think.
Super high metabolism. Because he's also so thin. Like, he's 6 feet tall, 160 pounds. Like, and he has gained 15 pounds since I've known him. He weighed 145 when I met him. And it's just all in his laps.
Yeah.
Anyway, which is great. He just grew laps.
Yeah.
But so we just need to eat all the time. And it's like when you're eating paleo, it just gets so exhausting to constantly be cooking. And like, so you spend an hour cooking, you know, 30 minutes eating, another hour cleaning up. And by the end of the day, like, you know, we get home.
That's your whole night.
It's the whole night. Yeah. We get home, we go to CrossFit, we come home and we cook and we eat and we clean. And then it's 10 o'clock.
Yep.
And it's like, what just happened? So Brandon had midterms this past week and we were just like, we got it. Figured out something. So fine. So we, you know, I've been seeing on Facebook about the meal plan. I was like, all right, we're going for it. So yeah. We went and we got like 10 big, 10 extra large size meals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I told Brandon about it and he was like, this is going to be awesome. Because it's so like, you know, it is tiring, but it's hard, you know, it's hard to make that a priority when all you want to do is just pass out at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's, I think, one thing that you guys have really nailed in your market, you know, is like, it is hard to, and that's a big reason that a lot of people, that's a big excuse that a lot of people have about paleo. Yeah, they're just like, it's so, you know, like, how do you have,
that's actually the only reason.
Wait, what's the excuse?
That they don't have the time to prepare all that food. Yeah. Well, and people like,
for anything, I think for any diet, it's tough to prepare.
Well, that's the thing, is that people are like, you know, because there's nothing, you can't just go and put, you know, a bunch of chicken nuggets in the oven, or you can't, you know, like, even like, you know, most salad dressings, you can't, you know, it's like they have.
That's the problem with freaking America then. Because we all want freaking fast answers.
Right. Well, that is the problem. But that's what people have come to expect.
Yeah. Well, but the beauty of it is that, and this is why I think that, you know, our company's on the verge of two revolutions. And one is that in 25 years, you're going to have a lot of people eating paleo. I think that, you know, whatever it's called at that time, it's going to be. A lot of people are not going to be eating all the garbage carbs that we eat now. And
when hopefully people are, you know, slowly, even now, are starting to realize that dietary fat does not equal being fat.
Right, exactly.
It's like low fat is more toxic than any amount of
fat. I think that's one thing. And then I think people are going to also start to realize that you can, the other thing is that you can literally just take the money that you're spending already and give it to somebody else. And as long as you just give it to them up front, you know, basically like a subscription service like we're doing, you can get better food than you would make yourself, most likely, with zero waste, with zero work, with zero driving, you know, and have it delivered with a menu that changes all the time, you know. And so, I mean, America is lagging behind the rest of the world on this. If you went to India, you know, you go to any city in India and every building has all the meals delivered to it, you know. People have their meals delivered to them because it just makes more sense.
Well, and also I think that a lot of the other countries never, like, they didn't have something as big as, you know, what I would really almost call a dietary crisis to come back from, you know, like you were saying, like, everybody has come to expect that they can go to the store, grab something out of the freezer section, you know, and you look at these like Healthy Choice steamers or whatever, and those are just garbage. Disgusting. Exactly. And it's like, I don't even want to know where those vegetables came from. And it's like, there's no, you know, they had just been distilled and distilled and distilled, and like, it looks like broccoli, but you're not getting.
You might as well just eat the cardboard, you know, container that it comes in and get more nutrients.
Right, or like diet soda. People are like, but it's fine. There are no calories. Yeah. I'm like, I'm gonna punch the next person in the face.
But we're making progress. We're making progress. I mean, and it's, you know, really a word of mouth thing. You know, people start eating paleo, and really you only have to do it for a week to see incredible results. You know, and to feel the change. So.
And I think you're right about just like reapportioning your budget. You know, everybody, like, we live, you know, Brandon's a student, lives off student loans. You know, I have an entry level job, and people are like, you know, how do you afford to eat this way? It's just like, well, we just don't, you know, go out and we don't go out drinking. We just don't, you know, it's like, you just take that money that you otherwise spend on, you know, stopping at Burger King or stopping at, you know, wherever, by eating popcorn.
I went to breakfast this morning,
right?
And I got a little scramble. I got, you know, there was a choice of toast.
Where'd
or
you go?
Potatoes. I went to the Universal. I like it.
Oh, so what's the Universal?
38th and Federal, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that is.
Yeah,
okay.
It's pretty good.
Sorry.
It's pretty good quality. But I mean, it was $18 by the time I was done, and all I got was scramble with, like, instead of having the toast, I had a little side salad.
Yeah.
And I got bacon on the side.
Yeah.
So forget all that stuff I said about
bacon. Such a bacon with breakfast. That's our beloved.
It's breakfast. Okay.
Yeah. I love bacon.
That's good. It's all good.
We are,
but it was actually, $18, you know? It's like, it's so expensive to eat out. It's crazy.
It is. We started eating bison bacon recently. We got bison bacon from, oh gosh, what's it called?
I can just look on Instagram and see. Yeah,
it's called, it's from Wild Idea Buffalo Company.
Okay.
They're based out of South Dakota.
Uh-huh.
And they'll, you know, they have this huge bison farm and they'll just ship it to you. And we got bison bacon and bison heart.
Awesome.
And the bison heart is as big as my head. It's terrifying. But jeez, the bison bacon is so good. But it's like, it tastes a little bit more like prosciutto or something. It's not quite as fatty as the, but so we're branching out in our bacon.
Yes, there you go.
It's kind of fun.
And your organ meats.
And my heart, yeah, Joy's not right. Not ready for that.
Not ready.
Ready. I had heart the other day at a really nice restaurant called Potager. It's on Cap Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was delicious. Yeah.
I really like, it was like amazing. We're making bison heart curry tonight, actually.
Right.
I'm excited for it. And we had liver the other day. I really liked it. Brandon's not quite ready for the liver.
Oh, okay.
I think we're going to wait to bust out the kidney until we're like a little bit more. And then we also got some Rocky Mountain oysters, like just for effect.
There you go.
And so now we just have, they're kind of gigantic. Like,
oh,
wow.
Uh-oh.
We have some huge lamb testicles in my freezer right now.
You're seriously going to eat those?
What? Yeah.
How can,
I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to eat them yet, but you know, you can just fry them or something.
As long as you prepare them well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but just I can't get back. I just can't get past the mental block of being like, I am eating.
Well, I think that that's all another thing about that paleo has sort of like taught me a little bit is that you have to look at food from a bigger perspective, and you know, like using the other parts of the animal is part of trying to keep it more sustainable. It's like if you only ever buy one cut of meat, you know, how many more animals? It's like if you only ever buy chicken thighs, we buy a family thing of chicken thighs, like that's like 12 chickens.
That's a really good point.
We use one of our values as a company is to use every part of the animal, you know. So like you can get, and this is one thing I learned, you know, in the food service industry, it's crazy, you know, if you wanted to buy one chicken breast, it's more expensive than if you bought the whole chicken, you know? So you could buy the entire chicken and get two breasts, two legs, you know, wings, everything. But, and then you get the stock to make sauces and everything out of. But the reason why it's more expensive just to buy one breast is because of the labor that it took to, you know, slice that up and everything to process that. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
So yeah, it's cool. You know, if you can, part of paleo, the beauty of it is that you know, we make all of our sauces and stocks and everything from scratch with the bones from the animals that that's we process, awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's cool.
Well, and I think it's also like, I think that's a little bit the delineation almost between paleo and primal. Like if you want to delineate those as that primal is kind of more like, you know, more thinking of it as literally living off the land. Like, okay, could I actually go out and, you know, if I was raising chickens, or if I happened to come across, you know, whatever, if I was a caveman walking through the wilderness and came across a ptarmigan or something, like, what would I, you know, how would you use that? And you would use all that.
Ptarmigan bacon.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I just like the word ptarmigan. Yeah. I think of the silent P at the front. It's got my vote. But I think that...
you're such a word nerd, and I love you for it.
It's fine. I think that just like, I don't know, I also heard about a guy who did a study where he went and lived with an Inuit tribe for like a year, and they only eat meat. They don't eat any, have any, because there's no plants up there. Right, blubber and fat. And they were saying, you know, how do you not get scurvy, which is like a vitamin C deficiency. And they said that they eat, when they slaughter an animal, they take the adrenal glands off the top of the kidneys and portion those around the tribe. Wow. So everybody, because they're like super, super high. But it's like, you know, if you really used literally all of an animal, you could
get everything you need.
You would get everything you need. Yeah. And, you know, not to say that everyone, you know, not to say, you know, stop eating plants and, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, because that's how people get most of their, you know, get a lot more nutrients. Not everyone's going to even have access to go out and, you know, just like show up the store and buy an adrenal gland.
Yeah.
But, and we, they are hard to track down.
Totally on the shelves.
Yeah. Although I've actually found it just interesting, you know, we just moved into part of the neighborhood that I like to refer to as Little Mexico. And it's easier, like you can go to the butcher and get like tongue or heart, know, but you can't go to like Whole Foods and get that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Can you pop a straw in an adrenal gland?
You know, that's a great question.
Slurp it.
That sounds horrifying, actually, but I'm not positive. Although I did find out that you're supposed to soak kidneys, you're going to freak out about this.
Do we have to do this again?
In vinegar to get rid of the urine taste.
What? What? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, because that's where the urine comes from, is your kidney.
I think I just blacked out for a minute.
Vinegar.
She's starting to scare me. Like, I just can't.
Like, they're going to show up and we're going to be all butcher and have like my butcher apron.
Last week it was something about getting the blood out by soaking it in milk.
Yeah, we're doing that right now actually. We have a thing of liver soaking in milk on the
ready. Liver soaking in milk to get the blood out of the liver.
Hmm. Yeah, apparently the calcium binds the hemoglobin and pulls it out.
So you're learning new stuff every day. Damn.
Claire's well, we want to do some of that stuff on our meal plans and stuff. Organ meats.
Yeah. And we also got like a whole thing of chicken feet for broth, which I'm really excited about. But it's a little weird to have a huge bag of chicken feet sitting in your freezer. Yeah, it feels a little weird.
That feels weird.
It's a little Halloween-y. It's festive. It's totally festive.
It's festive.
So what is your favorite thing on the menu that you guys make?
Oh, gosh. My favorite thing on the menu, like if somebody goes down to the food stand and they ask, you know, and then they want to eat just one item, like we have people that come from all over the country that are visiting Denver and they've heard of us or whatever. So I always say get the bistro steak. That is our signature dish. That is our 100% grass-fed Wagyu beef with...
What does Wagyu beef mean? I've always wondered that.
Wagyu? Oh, you've wondered and you've never asked?
Yeah, I guess. I thought it was like a cut
of... You saved it for this perfect time.
I did. Yeah. That's why.
Saved it for this perfect moment. You knew it.
So Wagyu is just a breed of cattle.
Oh, okay.
So like Angus, Wagyu. Wagyu, though, is the most sought after in the world in terms of taste. And that's because the Wagyu breed of cattle has the highest fat content naturally of any cows. And which the good part of that is that if you have Wagyu cows, you don't need to corn or grain feed them at all. They can be 100% grass fed and they can still have a high fat content, which means they're going to be more tender.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the reason why they corn feed, is to fatten them up. So,
gotcha.
So, yeah, the Wagyu beef actually has a 3 times better omega-3-6 profile than 100% grass-fed Angus.
Really?
So, it's got the best omega-3-6 profile of any meat in the world except for wild-caught salmon.
Hmm. Cool. So, well, there you go.
Awesome.
Now I know.
That would be the difference.
That would be the difference. So, that's tastes your favorite, better, the bistro steak?
Yeah, and it's just steak and mushrooms, basically, with our demi-glaze and then, you know, fresh herbs, thyme, and garlic.
Cool. What's your favorite catering thing that you've done? Your favorite catering dish? You had any custom ones that just blew you out of the water?
Oh, we did we did Wagyu beef carving station. That was awesome.
That sounds cool.
It was Wagyu beef brisket. Yeah. It was amazing. So we smoked it and then did a citrus maple glaze, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. So we did that for a wedding in Silverthorne.
Nice.
Yeah, where do you guys pull your inspiration from for recipes and
for food?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my best friend, our executive chef, David Kenny.
Yeah.
He's just an incredible chef. He's one of those people that just, you know, his entire life, you know, he's probably 5 years old, you know, standing on a stool next to his mom, making dinner from scratch.
In his blood, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's part of the reason why, you know, I think that the revolution that's happening over the next 25 years, you know, the way that people are going to eat is we're going to realize that there's like 1% of the population that is really, really incredible at cooking. Mm-hmm. And they love to do it, mm-hmm. So let's just let them do it, you know. And everybody else, you know, you either hate cooking, like a lot of people just hate cooking. In all honesty, I'm not a huge fan of cooking.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes I enjoy it, but
it's not something you want to have to do all day.
I don't want to have to do it, you know. And
I'm one of those too.
Yeah, you know, it's the same thing.
I really wish I had that in my blood though, because I would love to love it. And I'm not there.
Yeah, but you're really good at something else, though. You know what I mean? You're really good at something else. Or you're really passionate about something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, that's how cities work, you know? Yeah. And you've got 3 million people in this metro area, you know? There's 30,000 of them that are incredible chefs, you know? And they love to do it, you know? And they know how to do it so that you can enjoy all the food that you eat, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. I also have a question about small business owning, because CrossFit is that.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give?
Do you own a CrossFit gym?
No, just everyone who does. There's so many CrossFit gym owners out there.
Well, not
just
anybody who's listening.
Who has a small business, yeah.
And if you as an entrepreneur, you were saying, like, not everybody also, you know, just like not everybody loves cooking.
Yeah.
I think the thought of owning a small business would terrify 99% of
the people. But you actually did it, and what have you learned? So
it's
far.
The best decision I've ever made, without a doubt. I mean, if we were already bankrupt, then I would probably not say that, though.
So clearly you're doing well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, we're the food business is not easy. It's so cutthroat, low margin. You know, you got to basically figure it out. So, like, just these, really, since we started up the meal service is when we kind of started to figure it out. until then, it was, you know, constant, you know, struggle, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good point, though. Have you gotten any flack from the restaurant business because you're, like, taking it on the road, so to speak?
Kind of
redoing. You don't have, like, you don't have a remote location where it's just your restaurant.
Yeah, I think that's... And that, I haven't gotten any flack, you mean, from customers? Like,
no, just, I guess... From the restaurant industry?
Culture,
yeah.
No, even though I do, if I could say anything to the restaurant industry, it's that I would say that, you know, you're all really crazy, you know? Like, it's the worst business model. Like, a restaurant is a great business if you can't do meth, you know? Like,
really?
It's the worst, single worst business model of all business models that there is.
It's like all those shows where they, like, come in and do the, what's that one call where they go in and they tear apart all the, like, horrible...
Oh, he's about Restaurant Impossible.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. Well, and it's just, I mean, I look at it like this. 90% of restaurants fail in the first 2 years, or in the first year, or whatever the stat is, but 90% of them fail. And then, so from the business perspective, it's a failure. From the customer's perspective, everybody complains that food is either too expensive when you eat out, or it's not what I want, you know, it's processed garbage, not real food. So the whole thing is just broken. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And I think that really when you look at, because I try to look at everything from a bird's eye perspective, you know, and this is a blip on our screen of evolution of the last 100 years. You know, we've just had this idea that you can show up to a place and they're going to already have what I want to eat and I'm going to be able to afford it at a price that I can pay. And
every single time.
Yeah. And in reality, a restaurant is such a bad business model because you have to get up in the morning and you have to pre-purchase all this food. You have to pre-purchase all this labor to process the food. And then if your location's not incredible, or if it rains, or if for whatever other reason, like, your business is cut in half.
That day,
you know, it's like, so there's no guarantee of anything. So the result is that a lot of businesses fail. A lot of customers are not happy. And then on top of that, what they do to cut costs is they get the most processed, terrible food that you can possibly get. Yeah. And they do that for the understandable reason that you have to save money, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that that business model is just doesn't make any sense. And that's why we're reversing it. You know, it's, we're saying
customers come to you first.
Well, yeah, this is, you know, it's like, how do you get the best TV? You know, you subscribe to HBO and then you don't have to worry about commercials. You don't have to, and all you get is incredible high quality. So it's the same way with food, you know, for the people that decide that they're like, look, I know that I should eat everything, you know, real food. I should eat food that's made from scratch, not processed, but I don't want to do it myself because I work 40 hours a week. You know, the idea is, you know, you subscribe to whatever your service is of preference, but that gives, you know, that gives us, you know, a predictable revenue stream. So we can, you know, so we can provide things that if we're doing a restaurant, you know, you'd have to charge $30 for a grass-fed Wagyu beef steak, you know, we can do it for $12 delivered to you, you know, because we have, you know, no risk.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Don't ask me about restaurants again.
you just scared us. You got really mad. No.
Can't stand restaurant business.
So, we're almost out of time, but I want to kind of switch gears and talk about CrossFit a little bit.
Okay.
So you said that you started...
Oh, recommendations for business owners?
Oh, no, well...
Do it.
We're kind of...
No.
That's the answer to that one.
Yeah.
Read this book called Built to Last.
Okay.
Is that a good...
That's the best book to read.
For small businesses?
For any business, because any small business, you know, if you took the plunge to be a small business person, it's probably because you have big dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So... Built to Last. It teaches you how to create your company as a visionary company that, you know, has big dreams to change the world, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it sounds, I mean, like, you seem to already have a, basically, seems like a 25-year plan.
Yeah, you're like,
for
you're
how
like,
your business
is going to be. You're like 25 years ahead of us.
And then you were also saying that you're...
25-year vision.
Right.
The plan unfolds itself every few months.
And then you were also, you mentioned to me earlier, you're going to move to Boulder, thinking about relocating to California, and is that all just part of the dissemination?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think for the next 5 years, you know, I'm going to be a citizen of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm living in Denver right now. I love this city. I think I'll probably, like, end up back here.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, my goal is to spread this out as fast as I can. So, yeah.
Cool. And then, so go ahead and you can...
Well, I want to switch gears and talk about CrossFit.
This is a CrossFit podcast too.
So we wanted to... I want to know...
I know all about CrossFit.
I know. So what's your favorite workout for CrossFit? Or your favorite movement?
Well, my favorite, I would say, like, if you want I would say deadlifts followed by box jumps is just
such a bucket. Oh my gosh, that sounds awful.
That sounds evil.
Deadlifts and box jumps. That's a good one. I don't know. I love, for me, there's things I love about CrossFit. There's things I don't love about CrossFit.
Do you still do CrossFit?
Honestly, no. I've started doing yoga at the beginning of this year, and I'm like totally hooked on yoga. But that's because I was a bad CrossFitter, and I didn't join a CrossFit gym. Mm.
That doesn't make last you a bad year. CrossFitter.
I don't know. I think unless you really know what you're doing, you should have coaching.
For sure. And I just don't think I thought
it doesn't mean yeah. It doesn't make you a bad.
You're not a bad person.
I'm not a bad person. No, but I think it was like towards the end of last year. I was like, nah, I'll just, I got a bar, you know, I got basic things I can do in my house. And then, you know, you're doing like cleans and stuff in your house and it's real easy to, you know, just like overdo it.
Totally.
So long story short, my back was all jacked up probably from that.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, found yoga to kind of help my back out and now I'm just addicted to yoga. So.
Yeah, I think that's great. Honestly, like our kind of thing is like, we love CrossFit because it provided something for us that we didn't find another way.
Yeah.
But it bothers me in the CrossFit community when people are like, if you don't do CrossFit, you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's find what works for you. Find what makes your body feel healthy.
Movement is movement. And it also comes back to what your goals are, you know? Like, I have zero goals for fitness or nutrition. So
outside of just,
other than to feel good.
Yeah. You know? Yoga totally falls into that, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I would say that if you took a real hot, like, power, you know, yoga class, you get just as good of a workout as doing just about anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
totally.
But CrossFit's more for, like, you know, if I want to jump higher, run faster, all that stuff, you know, which doesn't matter to me. So.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Awesome. Did you have any other CrossFit-related questions?
That's it. We could talk about yoga, but Claire might start sweating.
Hey, you know, if like, I could talk about organ meats.
You start sweating even about talking about yoga?
I just am so bad at it.
What's your favorite yoga pose?
Favorite yoga pose? Handstand.
Really? Are you good at the handstand? Headstand or handstand?
Handstand.
Okay. Well, I can do a headstand all day.
The funnest, I don't think that's a word, but is to go from crow to handstand and then back to crow. Like,
can you do that?
Oh, you can do that?
I can do that,
oh my gosh.
I'm so jealous.
I've been doing
you're the guy in class who can do that. You're the guy in class
who
can do that.
I would break my nose. Maybe. I would absolutely break my nose.
You're the guy in class where everyone's like, dang it, I wish I could do that. There's always one.
Yeah, but I'm
so sweaty though that they're like, you know what? But at least I'm not as sweaty as him.
Yeah,
he's disgusting.
His
sweat is dripping all down from his legs down his head.
Okay, his sweat is getting on me. So. Joy has a tumultuous relationship with handstands.
I do. I get broken blood vessels in my eyes when I do handstand
because
push-ups.
You fell?
No, when I do handstand push-ups, I break blood vessels around my eyes, and I look like I've been punched.
And it's either because she comes down way too hard in her head, or because she's holding her breath.
Yeah. That's what we determined, and I haven't figured it out yet.
And by we determined that, our listeners
have determined that. They figured it out for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it breaks blood vessels.
It looks like she's got beat. She looks like she got beat up.
And it's not. I mean, I'd have to kind of like point it out to you, and it's not totally like I have a black eye, but it's enough to where I have like dots all around my eyes.
Yeah. So do you stop doing that?
No, I keep doing it.
That's a CrossFit thing right there.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
My eyes. I'm gonna go blind, bro. Okay, as long as I can PR this, I'm good.
That's a Joy thing right there. CrossFit /Joy.
Oh. Yeah, someone, you know, Kate from our gym put out a message this week that
the rock and roll half marathon was today in Denver, and one of her friends was signed up for it and had to back out. He got injured, so she sent an email that was like, does anybody want his registration? Did you?
I almost
went and ran 13 miles just on a whim?
Mm-hmm.
You're crazy.
Seriously. Totally crazy. Yeah. There's no possible way.
Well, but you didn't do it, so.
Yeah.
But I would have because she sold it yesterday, and I texted her because I had just run 8 miles, and I was like, because I'm going to try this, and I ran 8 miles yesterday. And I was like, okay, I think I'm ready. And she's like, oh, I sold it. And I was like, dang.
So you did CrossFit on the reg, like what, 3 days on?
3 to 4 times a week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also run like
and
that.
And then I run
and
do yoga.
And she does yoga.
Wow.
And she just fit class.
That's one thing that like that's in CrossFit that I feel like I got a different interpretation of CrossFit when I first encountered it, which was in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the appeal of it was like you can be done with your workout in 15 minutes. You can be done with your workout in 7 minutes.
Yeah. Right, and you're exhausted.
It's like rarely more than 30 minutes. Like,
right.
There's a couple times I've done CrossFit for more than 30 minutes. But I see a lot of people doing CrossFit and they like they do the WOD and then they stick around the gym and they knock out like 50 more sets of squats. And I'm right. like, I'm pretty sure that part of the theory of it is that you do way less training.
Yeah, well, and I think that's also like for people like as the competitive side of CrossFit has grown, it's like you can't just do the WODs anymore and be competitive. You also have to do all this, you know, like which I think is kind of ironic because the point of CrossFit is to not be a specialized athlete.
Yeah.
But it's like it's gotten to the point where you almost have to be a specialized athlete, but in like 10 things.
Yeah.
Like you have to be able to compete, you know, to be a weightlifter who could compete at the USA Weightlifting Nationals, which actually, by the way, Christmas Abbott just qualified
for
the
USA Weightlifting.
Are you serious?
Seriously?
Yeah.
She's like my favorite person ever.
Yeah.
She's up there.
Yeah. She's very high up there. She only weighs like 115 pounds or something. But it's like all of these people, you know, it's like you have to be a competitive weightlifter and you have to be able to be competitive, you know, whatever. But I think you're right that it's like, it's changing for
sure. Yeah, because I mean, to me, like, I would want to do CrossFit if I didn't have to do it for an hour.
Honestly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's part of the reason why I was doing it in my house was I'm like, I can do the WOD in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to go.
But yoga is
an hour. But the beauty of yoga being an hour is that that counts for multiple things.
You know what I mean? Meditation.
So, like, that's my chill time, you know what I mean?
So it's like the massage slash workout.
Exactly.
Massage and like workout in one.
The massage workout. Plus, also, the other thing about yoga is that nobody's screaming at you or, like, you know.
Right, there's dubstep.
Yeah, well, yeah, and, like, I can't, you know, coming out of the Army, I was like, you know, I don't need anybody, you know, like, telling
you don't need a boss.
Five more, knock five out, you know what I mean?
You're, like the anti-boss person.
I don't want any boss.
You don't want anyone yelling at you. You don't need a boss.
Don't tell me what to do. I'm just going to go into child's pose. I should go to CrossFit. And it starts getting too hard. I'm just like, I'm going to child's pose.
I'm totally doing that next time when you handstand pushups.
He's like, I got this guy's child's pose.
What are you doing? I'm focusing on my breath.
I'm bringing it back.
Focus meditating.
And then you do a badass crow to handstand. They're like, whoa.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. All right, Joy, that's your next trick.
Yeah. Gotta work on that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. It was very informative. And where can people find you?
Well, I would say
the local people.
CavemanCafeteria.com. I would say go to CavemanCafeteria.com and check us out there. Also Facebook. And then if you want to come take a taste of what we do, 16th and Larimer, Monday through Friday, right there on 16th Street Mall. We really only are open if it's pretty decent weather, you know, so give us a call or, you know, send us an email, write us on Facebook or whatever if you're going to come down and check us out, make sure that we're actually going to be there. But yeah, Monday through Friday for lunch, 11:30 to 2 are the normal hours unless it's snowing.
Right.
Okay. Which, it's going to be happening a lot.
Yeah, that's going to be happening soon.
Thank God we have the prepared meal delivery service going.
Totally. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you again. That's it for this week, you guys. You can find us at girlsgonewildpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
All of the above.
And we will see you next week.
Bye.